around people with the same goal. It's extremely important. Community kept me alive in this journey. I swear, I don't know where I would be if there wasn't a community. I'm just being honest. So build a network, join people with the same mind. That would be my advice, my tip.
Welcome to Extend Women in Tech Podcast. This is Jonah Anderson, and here with me is Shetty Tarafi, my co-host on this podcast. Extend Women in Tech Podcast is a tech podcast that highlights the great and inspiring stories of women in tech and friends in the community and what they do at their jobs and for others. How are you, Shetty?
Good, Jonah, thank you for today's session. I'm really glad that we are recording once again. And yes, Today we have a special guest.
Yeah, Shetty, today we do have a great guest and speaker with us. We have Audrey Menge, who is one of my friends in the tech community, and she is also joining us from Gabon. So Audrey Menge is a software engineer based in Libreville, Gabon. She holds a bachelor degree in information technology from Accra Institute of Technology, a lot of technology there. She uses technology tools such as Azure, React, and TypeScript, mainly to solve problems. Audrey believes that cloud is the future, and therefore she decided to get certified. So aside from the work activities that Audrey does, she also is a woman in STEM. She advocates for it, and she is an active member of the organization or user group called Microsoft User Group Ghana, File Ladies Ghana, Developers in Vouch, which helps women to transition or enter the STEM field in tech. So during her spare time, she likes exploring nature and visiting new countries. I wonder what Audrey has to visit soon. But welcome, Audrey, to our podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, ladies, for having me. It's really a pleasure. My first podcast with you, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, thank you for joining us from afar today to share your story.
Yeah. Welcome, Audrey, to our podcast. I was wondering, you living in Ghana or Gabon now?
Oh, I'm living in Gabon now. I recently moved back here.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would like,
because you're from Gabon and then you studied in Accra.
Accra, yes.
Yeah. How does that start? Would love to listen how it got started to you move to Accra and all those stories. Could you help us to know your transition there and then how it started?
Yeah, sure. So hi again, I'm Audrey. I am a software engineer. I'm based in Libreville currently. It wasn't like that. So I went to Ghana some years ago to study information technology. And when I landed there, I didn't know anything about English. I did not like English courses back in college or in high school. But then my father decided that, English is quite competitive, and you would need it in order for you to really, really be successful. That was the idea behind. So he sent me to Ghana to go and study, and then that's how it all started. So I went to Ghana to study, and after studying, I got stuck because at the university, I needed to complete my course. And in order to do that, you need to do internship, at least one internship. So during the holidays, I came back to Gabon and I was at level 300. Yes, I came back to Gabon and I couldn't find an internship because I don't know, I just couldn't find any. And then I had to go back again to my to Ghana and start brainstorming on how to get an internship because I needed to validate my year and be done with the year, basically. And the internship was just the way. There was no other way. So I decided to be curious. I'm doing IT. So what is it that IT really has in store for me? I can't be just studying the subject without being exposed to what the subject has to offer. So that's when I started to become a bit curious. Then I was online on LinkedIn, I guess, and developers in Vogue, one of the organization I volunteered for, actually organized the meetup for ladies, girls, and it was all ladies and it was a boot camp. And I was like, wait, but I did not start with the boot camp first. They just organized the meetup for ladies in tech. And I was like, okay, I'm studying tech, like information technology. This has to be my calling. I have to be there because I have no idea what this is about. And school doesn't really give you certain perspectives about the on the subject that you are actually pursuing. So you need to think outside the box. So I went to the meetup. And at the meetup, I was actually really triggered because I heard people from different backgrounds, ladies from different backgrounds, just get started in tech, medical doctors, biochemist students, nurses who transition to tech. And by tech, I don't only mean software engineering or software development. Could be digital marketing, could be it was something related to tech. And I was interested. I was like, no, I'm like this subject is what I'm actually studying in school. So, and people from other backgrounds are making it, then I have to give myself a chance. So I actually went further after the meetup. I got to exchange contacts, LinkedIn, and build connections with other ladies in the space, and among them, the speakers. And then I got in touch with even the founder of the organization. And we just had a chat, and she's so cool. And she was like, you know what? We are going to do something more, like something better this time around. We are going to give you the opportunity to practice your skills in area in tech. So just follow us on LinkedIn and then we'll give you a follow-up on what it is that we have in store for the lady. So a month and a half later, they organized the first boot camp that I actually took part in. And it was Pick Python and it was a 2-day boot camp with a hackathon at its end. And then you'll be put in teams. And then you develop something. And I remember the project capstone that we had was about a booking application or a booking website because we were novices and we didn't have much time. So we just told ourselves, okay, let's just build a website where we will showcase the business and then you can book a trip and using Python Flask. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. And we actually built it. It wasn't fully functional because we needed more time. We had no experience when it comes to coding. And we had in our team people with different experiences, backgrounds already. And it was just so magical, the ideas, the way we came together and the way we built that application. And we look at the website and we look at each other, we're like, we actually did this and this is cool because then we are going to use it. And after the boot camp, we continued and we became really good friends and we were supporting each other, chatting up with each other. And it only led to good stuff. And I was telling myself that I should volunteer more because it has to be, there has to be something more than what I've just, the experience that I've just had. So some few months, so now that was in December, and then on in February the next year, I should not recall the years like very well. So the following year in February, then I learned and I discovered Microsoft User Group Ghana, and I was like, okay. They were looking for volunteers, and I joined them, and I was like an active member over there, and that's where I met Jonah for an interview that I texted her, and I was like, okay, we would have you on a panel because we want you to share your knowledge with our community. And I got to meet more people and more people and more people. Then I was more exposed, but I wasn't actively coding. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I gave myself that time that I need to know what I wanted to do, and I need to see what it's available for me. So still looking for internship too, though. So one day I was in my room, and the same organization, Developers Involved, actually had a night chat with ladies where you get to know each other, and we call it the hot seat. So you'd be on the hot seat, and people would just ask you random questions, and you'd be answering. So one day I got an invite. Can you be on the hot seat as a volunteer? And I was like, yeah, why not? And it was all on WhatsApp. So I was on the hot seat. We were having a lot of fun, and people were asking me about my personal experience. How did I get started? And when did I come to Ghana? Did I speak English and all of that? And later on, after the hot seat, the Ivy, who is the co-founder of the Developers Involved, texted me, "Are you interested in an internship? Because we have some spots left, and we have a partnership with Ecobank." I was like, "Wait, what are you saying? What are you telling me?" And she was like, "Yeah, you could just put your name on the list, and this is going to be, I mean, the partnership that we have with them, we are going to send ladies over, 12 or so, and you are going to have 3 months full-time internship with them, and going to be." It was just magical. I did not see that. I did not expect that. And that's how I got into Ecobank. I had my internship. I spent 3 wonderful months over there with all the mentorship that I needed. And I was actually at the data center. I wasn't in anything development, or I was just a data center an intern. And it's not just, I was a data center intern, and it was really a wonderful experience. Like, I got exposed to this part of tech. You have a rack, switches, and networking cables, and networking devices, and monitors, and it was. I was like, this is insane. And it was really nice because Ecobank has one of the biggest data centers in Africa. And I got to work over there. And they showed me the place. I had a tour, and whenever people were coming, we'd just be there monitoring them, telling them about the equipment and how it all works. And it was really wonderful. So after the 3 months, I had to go back to school, and I actually had my paper showing that I did my internship. So I was able to validate my year, and it was really magical. And then after that, I had validated my 3rd year, and I was going back to school. And after school, I graduated. Now I was looking for a After school, I was looking for a job because then COVID hit. Yeah, because then it was during the COVID period. So we weren't going to the, I was actually done with school, but I hadn't graduated. I was supposed to graduate that same year, but because of COVID, things got delayed. And then I was just home, and I saw the Adobe Africa program, which is a program that helps people getting started in technology. And they were offering data science program. And I was like, okay, this could be something nice because I was not really, coding was nice, but I wanted more and I was already curious. So I started taking, and because Python was something that a programming language I started with, I was more curious and I discovered a lot of libraries, Panda and all that. And I was like, okay, I think data science can be something that I want to pursue. So when the Azubi program came, I applied for the data science track. I got in and I was trained for 3 months. And then after the 3 months, I got an offer from them. And it was during that time that I got Azure certified because they use Azure on the daily basis. So I got certified Azure, and then I got an offer from them to be able to teach data science to the next cohort. And I was pleased because it's like, wow, this is really nice, because then I looked for a job and I got a job and everything was just going on well. Then, but at that time I felt like data science wasn't really at its peak, like the way it is right now. It was just booming in this part of the world. I didn't know about the other part, but in Africa, it was just something that I felt just started. And the requirements that people were getting in order to make it to the next step, were things like master's degree. And they were more, a bit more considerate with people that had a lot of mathematical background, like specific background, to be able to be okay with data science. So if you even did economics and you are good with Excel and all that, that would be good for you. And I didn't have all that. So I became a little bit shy because I was like, maybe that's not something that I want to do anymore. Maybe I should look for something else. And of course, in tech, you learn. And when you just get started, you'll be exposed to so much. And it's not a bad thing because then you can choose whenever you feel like this might not be the right thing for me, you can choose. So after that, these 3 months, when they gave me the offer, when I was done teaching the next cohort for 3 months, I told them that, hey, it's been a great experience, but now I really have something else in my mind. And I was like, I resigned from that position. And I was looking for a software engineering role. So I took 4 months off and I started looking for a job for 4 months. And during that time, I was doing talks, I was going to meetups, I was continuing to volunteer and all that. And during that time, I met a friend and we were active members of Microsoft User Group Ghana at that time. And she's like, hey, there's an opening at my company. It would be great if you could join. She told me this 2 months after I had resigned. And I didn't quite believe it. I was like, this is software engineering. I'm still learning. And she's like, no, you can actually come. They are going to train you. I didn't believe it. So when September hit, she was like, we started the training. You feel sure you don't want to apply? And I said, no. So 2 months, 3 months later, I finally applied because I remembered that I had met the CEO of that company at a meetup during my job hunt. And he made a presentation. And after his presentation, he said, if you're looking for a job in Ghana, just send me a hi on Twitter because I'm going to give you a job. And he didn't even finish speaking or talking. I had already sent him a hi. I was like, hey, hi, I'm looking for a job. But that was back. I was still in school when he came. And I was like, okay, then if he's the CEO, then I can actually get in touch with him because he made that promise to me himself. So we started exchanging, and he was like, yeah, now that you're done with school, no problem. You can join the company. That's how I joined the company as a software engineer.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's how I
That's
started. Yeah.
a long and great story and journey.
Long, I'm so
No,
sorry.
it's okay. Yeah, it was like an interesting story to to hear as well about how it all started from learning. I remember that you mentioned earlier that you have to learn English, because as far as I know, you do have English and French as your language there, right? You do speak both languages, right? And then the local language as well, correct?
Yes,
that's right. So it's very interesting how to learn about how you got into tech and how you found your journey. And I remember we didn't meet virtually when I was volunteering to speak at the Microsoft User Group Ghana, and that's how we got connected for past few years. Yes. So, yeah. What do you think, Shetty, about Audrey's story?
It's very inspiring.
Yes.
I was wondering, like, you got a good connection, yeah, mostly with meetups,
yep,
right? From the story you told us. I mean, for me, let's say some meetups, I would say, what do I get from? What kind of advantage would I get it from this meetup? So I would say your story is a good one to tell about these meetups are really giving chances, right?
Just go. You don't even have to go with a mindset of I'm going to connect. Just do what you have to do. I mean, just volunteer. And you don't know. I never ask on purpose for any job, but they always remembered me from seeing me. And whenever they see me, they're like, "You are the lady that we met at that place." And I'm like, "Yeah, me." And I was just there volunteer. So,
yes, that's right. Yeah. People see, like, this is the importance of going, I mean, with communities. So it's like each individual needs some kind of like assurance of belonging. It might be a belonging at our homes, with family, friends that cares for us. It can be at work, and then it can be in communities. And through belonging, it also means that you feel that you belong into a group or something if you know that those other people in that group has the same vision and mission that you have. So, for example, tech, or like you've been in Microsoft User Group Ghana, Pi Ladies Ghana, and developers. Because as if I were to like translate what you shared based on your experience, your vision also as a woman in tech, or as a developer yourself, is to inspire others. And if we work and collaborate with like-minded people, that's how we grow as well. Yes. So just like the previous episode we had with Maria, I know that we did talk about growing. So if you are in a place that you're not growing, then it's time to move on. And it's also the same in terms of belonging in a community. If you feel like that community is not good for you, then there are other communities that suits what you prefer. So yeah, it's great to hear your tech story and how you got involved into tech communities, Audrey. And that's how you got connected to me, and today, recording this, you got connected to Shetty, who is also a React developer, which we will have discussions very soon about that.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, I never worked. I always ask, tell Jonah, like, Azure, I need to learn more about Azure. But you combine React and Azure. And I was wondering, like, any of your recent projects that you have been involved with, what are the main key takeaways you have experienced, like working in these two projects or in these two tech stacks?
Right, the Azure and React. So when it comes to Azure, it's, first of all, the platform always changes, because it's like huge platform and you can get a little bit lost. And Most of the time I was that's why sometimes I joined the Azure User Group Sweden, because then I need to know more about a specific thing that I'm when I'm working on a topic. So the last 2 Saturdays, I think we had a session, and we highlighted a lot about Azure, and it was I needed to be in that session, because right now I'm working on a project that I need to host, and I'm going to use Azure for that. But there are so many services in Azure as you grow. And the speaker was just telling me, you have to focus on what it is that you need exactly, because you can't know everything at a go. So if you are planning on hosting a website, look into what the security that you need to put in place in that is regard with regards to their hosting services. And I'm talking broadly, because I just want you to understand that if you want to start learning, or if you want to have a personal experience with Azure, you just can't learn it all.
Yeah,
So
I
if you
agree.
have a yeah, if you have you are a software engineer, look at web services. What is it that it has in store for me? And look at how you can just go step by step. If you need a database,
Yeah.
look at Azure databases. Which one is actually the most accurate, or the most the one that I need among all the database services that Azure has to offer? And just don't go in and say, hey, I'm going to learn this. I'm taking on Azure and I'm going
Everything.
to kill it. Yeah, it's not going to
I know,
happen. You
no.
will be disappointed.
Yes, I do agree with that. I
You
remember
will be.
that.
So the first ever experience that I had with it was when I was a teacher, and it was with the cognitive services. So the cognitive services, we just you could create bots in Azure, and this was mainly what I was using Azure for. And I was just focusing on it. And somebody would call you, and anytime I was talking with the students, I was just telling them that please, when you see an Azure expert, there are areas of focus. Do not take yourself, don't go and commit suicide trying to learn all of it together. It's just not gonna happen. Now, there is a service that I use when it comes to React projects, and I don't always have the name behind my back because they are like a lot. Maybe Jonah can help with that. It's web services. Yes, so Azure Static Web App.
Yeah, sure, static
I
web
got it.
apps. Yes.
Yes, so Azure Static Web App. So you want to get started with it whenever you want to. If you're a software engineer and you are working with React, look at Azure Static Web App. This is the service you want to focus on. Don't look at anything else. Now, you could add a database service, because most of us, when we host websites, we need storages in order to for your web application. So you need storages. So look at different storage accounts. You could have a RDBS storage account that you could create on Azure, and then you focus on these services and focus on the security that goes around it. How can you make your web application more secure using these services? So that is what I can say is the experience that I have had so far, because it's easy to get lost, but really, these are the two services that you need whenever it comes to web applications, static web apps, and a storage account, a storage service. Look for them. You have many of them on the Azure platform. So just look for them and then focus on them. Don't get lost. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah,
Thanks.
yes, that's great. Yeah, I remember that session, the last session that we had 2 weeks ago. So we have bi-weekly session at Azure User Group Sweden. We had Mustafa I think that was the one that you were referring to when you
Yeah,
joined us
exactly.
about the best practices to think about in terms of security and securing your Azure environment. And speaking of learning Azure, I know that Chetty and I had a bit of an agreement that maybe she and I were going to do a mentorship together where I'm going to teach and learn, like share knowledge about Azure. And I do agree that learning cloud development itself, even if you're already a developer coding, is not an easy as well, because it's like you already have the language that you are good at. It can be C sharp or React or Python or TypeScript. But then the applications that you build, you need to put it somewhere like cloud. And the cloud itself is pretty broad. And if you choose one cloud provider like Azure, then as a beginner, you also can get lost because there's a lot of things to choose. Just like what you said, Audrey, they're focusing on databases. So in databases in Azure, there is this Azure Cosmos DB for NoSQL, for documents type, and even graph. And there's also the traditional SQL relational databases in Azure. So you need to choose between the two of them. But if you're learning, for example, coding with React or C Sharp, you need to choose one that works for your application. So it's like the process of divide and conquer. Divide what you need to learn and conquer that small division that you want to
Exactly.
learn, like small micro learning, which I also like myself. Yes, so that's good. Yeah, I have one question to you now in re relevance to this, Audrey. So, how do you stay up to date with the recent trends? For example, what you're trying to learn with Azure or React development? What type of resources do you usually use for learning, and how do you like keep up with it without getting too overwhelmed, of course?
Okay, thanks for the question. Great one. So I like to use Meetups a lot, and I could refer some few. And Microsoft User Group Ghana organizes a lot of meetups in that regard. Azure User Group Sweden, Microsoft Reactor London also organizes a lot of meetups, and they are also accessible virtually. So it's not on site most of the time, it's virtual. So you could actually, I like to learn that way because I'm sorry to say that, but you have a highly professional giving their knowledge for free. It doesn't happen. Like, it just doesn't. And they can actually answer your question from a deep perspective, telling you things that you were not even thinking about in the doc. Because if you go into the, let's just say Microsoft Learn, which is it's like a great resource, but like a lot. So I would still continue telling you go with the device to conquer. Select topics because they don't always have the topics that you need. And it's also important to know that you don't have to attend all their sessions because you can get lost. But then attend sessions that will really bring the most out of you. Because then you can ask questions that are related to the problem that you're facing. Reading is really great, but then you don't get into the mind of the writer. But when you have meetups, you can get into their mind by asking questions and getting the direct answer, like right on the spot. So the resources that I really use to learn whatever it is that I'm learning when I'm learning it. The first one is the meetup, and I attend them. And if I can't, I watch the recording. And if I can't ask because on the recording I can't ask the question, but at least I learned, I have an idea, then I can start doing the research. So that's how I take it because they are professionals. Like you are not paying for what you are going to receive. It's totally free and it's an advice that's like professionally given to you and it doesn't happen all the time. So this is the technique that I use. So whenever there's something relevant to software engineering in any of these meetups, I reserve the spot. If I'm unable to attend for whatever reason, I'll watch the recording. That's what I do. So that's what I advise people to do. And then after that, ask, do research.
We do record our session. Actually, also most meetups, especially the virtual ones, the sessions are recorded, so you don't have to attend everything. Attend those that are relevant to what you are learning.
I didn't know that, by the way, they record it. Where do you they store it, or
We
where do
do.
you get it from?
For example, in our meetup group, we actually record it in our YouTube channel. So we have Azure User Group Sweden, and all of our meetups are actually recorded. So, for example, we have one coming actually today after this recording, this one. But last time, the one that that Audrey mentioned that she was with after the Fika, this is was the one that was like 2 weeks ago when we discussed about security. So I can definitely share the streams we had, Chetty, because I know that you want to learn Azure, and we do have a lot of recording about different topics in here. I can
Thanks.
share it with
I'll
you
look
on
into
email. Yes, that's great. And then we should start planning about our mentoring session together. I know that I still owe you that.
Yeah, we always talk about it. Yeah, but we since Jonah is really a very really busy person. I'm
You need
waiting for
to.
her free time.
I maybe soon after I finish the last chapters of my book in soon, so I'll initiate the mentoring session we have soon.
Yeah, I should start somewhere, but
You should start somewhere. But I'll share the link to our recorded streams, because that's a good start as well. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I was wondering to like can you share some tips like for aspiring developers who wants to learn like me, Microsoft Azure, and also maybe React or any other front-end frameworks. But at the same time, I want to ask you, have you worked with other front-end frameworks other than React, and then also cloud platforms other than Azure? It's gonna be
Yes,
two
I have.
questions, so yeah.
Okay,
One is
cool.
like, what kind of tips do you give for those who wants to learn, and then have you worked with other platforms?
So, thanks for the question. So the tips. So from my personal experience, the first tip that I would give you is to really believe in yourself. I have not had really big issues with learning how to code. I was always doubting myself. So it can be really intimidating, because on the internet, you'll have people that were able to have it all figured out in less time than others. And you can really feel intimidated that. Will I, like, when you are 1 month into your learning journey, and still can do a basic application and host it online, you can doubt. I did doubt, and I was just like, this is maybe not what I'm supposed to do, because some people get it up and running after just 1 week, and they're like, hey, I just built this in a week and all that. And it's good, because it should be a motivation, a motivation to you. But because we are humans and we want things to be done the exact way, we want to copy exactly how it is. And when it doesn't turn out the way we want it to turn out, we become discouraged. So the first thing is really believe in yourself. It is very important, because the journey is long and very, very full of uncertainty. You need to believe in yourself. The second one is, have a system working. So for yourself, I'm really trying to focus on you, because the journey is yours. So try to set up a system that works for you. And I've given tips on how to learn the my method of learning, find yours. I will go to meetup. That's because I have already been exposed and I have had an experience. So I know where to look for what I need. So you build a system for you that works for you. And to do that, you need to take the time to learn what it is that works for you and cut off the noise around you. And the third thing, be around people with the same goal. It's extremely important. Community kept me alive in this journey. I swear, I don't know where I would be if there wasn't a community. I'm just being honest. So build a network, join people with the same mind. That would be my advice, my tip. And this one, the same mind is just for you to keep on going, because then you see that some people around you have not given up. Why would be the one? Will you be the one to give up? No, you don't. We don't do that here. So let's continue. You will have that motivation. So these are my tips. And yes, I have worked with different cloud providers. I have worked with AWS at my former job. And we were mainly with S3 bucket for storage and other technologies that I don't remember anymore because I'm learning a lot. Excuse me, I'm really bad with names. So yeah. And I've also, when it comes to front end framework, I have worked with Angular before. Yes, I don't really, really like it. But yeah, I think I like React more. And I have worked with, I'll just say something that's on top of React, Next.js. I really like that one. It's quite fast and gets the job easily done. Yes. So these are the few ones that I've worked with. Looking forward to more.
Yes, yes, that's great. Yeah, I heard that you like React and Angular. So yeah, and I think I know Shadi also likes React and work with it. So I really look forward to the day also for Shadi to share and talk about Azure soon. So yes, so we can all three of us can help each other on that.
Okay. I was wondering about the technology in Africa, because I am from Ethiopia, and from the times I were there, it was not, or maybe it's just like you said, my community or my surroundings, but it was not that much, I would say, to the level I wanted it, or to the level that I see it here where I live now. Since you are already engaged with these technologies, how do you see it now? I just wanna hear about the level.
Yeah.
It's really hard to ask because it's I don't know how to ask it, but yeah.
Well, thank you for asking. In terms of level, it's as competitive as anywhere. So first of all, you can now hire from Africa. Most companies, like people from the US, and you can actually work for a US company based in Ghana, Libreville, wherever it is that you're based. And this shows that there is a catch up. The gap when it comes to technical skill is not there. At least the exposure to the technology might like be different, but the gap isn't, because the internet has made it possible for you to be able to do all these things that are done in America right from here. You have incubators where people actually build startups based on top of this technology right from here. And these startups are making it. So when it comes to the meetups and tech, and everything that is community related, it comes down to the belief of each individual. For instance, a community is made by people. So people, irrespective of where they are from, are supposed to come together. So you build a community. I have a friend of mine. We are deep into communities together. And we were always talking. And anytime we would see something that's not going on right, we were just telling ourselves that, Audrey, we are the community. You are your community. I am my community. And everything is going on okay. So if you want to spread or share knowledge, you are the community. Nobody else is. People will tag along, they will join you, but you have to know that you are the community. You can come up with your YouTube channel, share it. You can come up with a meetup and do everything virtual. You don't have to be, how do you call it? It doesn't have to be
In
physical.
person. Yes, that's
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
So you are the community. And it's, to me, I don't see any difference from anywhere else in the world because I'm a member of, I don't even know how many communities I'm a member of when it comes to volunteering. And I can be a member of any community, even if you wake up today and you say, I'm going to start my community. Audrey, I need you to volunteer for this and that. I always support you. So, Africa is on track. That is according to me and my experience. I know people can debate it and that is totally fair. Let's discuss it. But to me, I don't see any difference. I'm here in Libreville. I'm talking to you in Sweden.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I really agree with you are the community. Of course, community, it takes more than one person, of course, but in order to start and build a community, you need to be the first one to start and lead it, right? Because somehow, if you think about a community, like real community, a secluded place somewhere. One person started something and built something in there, and then it becomes big. It's also the same in relevance to building a tech community that I personally can relate because I built Azure User Group Sweden during the pandemic times when everyone were like working from home and like stuck in their homes, but there's no way to collaborate and sync with everyone and learn something. And then I saw that there wasn't any Azure user group in my area here in up north Sweden. So I decided I'm gonna start a community. I don't know where to start. It's gonna cost me some my time, but I'm gonna start it anyway. And I did that virtually. And then now Azure User Group Sweden has expanded and Chetty is also one of the members. And other MVPs and experts are volunteering to spare 1 hour of their weekends to share knowledge virtually, to others who are also across the world. So I truly believe, Audrey, that if you have something to share, you have a vision to build a community, you can do that in Africa or in Gabon, wherever you are, virtually or in person. So yeah. Go for it. I'm here if you need me.
I do have a community. It's
Yes,
just
great.
conceptual level for now. It's called La
Yes.
Caravane Developer, but that's a topic for
Yes.
another.
Yeah, yes. I have a follow-up question in re relevance to Shetty's question to you and tech communities in Africa, because I don't know so much. I mean, I haven't been there. I know Shadi, you two maybe can relate more. I grew up in the Philippines and then I moved to Sweden and been I love tech. But I'm curious, actually, this is just a random question that came. I'm curious about how is it in schools and communities, like normal communities in Africa, is it like even or equal in a way that like girls or everyone is inclusive to learn technology in schools and government or communities? How is it there, Audrey?
Yeah. So, to me,
It's
it's
an honest
inclusive.
question. I want to see because I haven't been there, but I'm always interested in learning other cultures. And I know like diversity and inclusion and even like women working in technology, there's still a gap there. Sweden is okay, but I know other countries really have this challenge, and women are really fighting hard for their rights and at least getting a good job for themselves. But
Yeah.
I'm curious, how is it on your side?
Yeah, that's really a good question. So from the experience that I have had, and I have told this a couple of times to the people that I know, it's inclusive enough because a woman, the government has never blocked any girl to go and pursue any course related to tech. So you are a lady, you can go to uni and study computer engineering, computer science. That's the first thing that the government has put in place for you to actually be exposed to that. Now, the second thing that is there is the government, people have organizations like the Developers Involved that you have, and they are focused on women. And these organizations are there to provide all the support that women need in order to grow in their career in tech. So it's inclusive. Now we have to come down to the women themselves. Is it something that they want to pursue? Because there are a lot of things right now. Let's just say a lot of people believe that tech is going to make you rich. Most people don't know how much work it takes for you to become rich. So, and some women may not have that patience to wait that long. And with the cultural background that tells them that marriage is the first thing for you to look for in order to feel accomplished, all that information into your brain, into some people's brain, can get them confused and make you not even look at your computer science or computer engineering degree as something valuable. So the space is there. That is my personal experience. But if people need to understand what the space is for. So you go to school and you become a you go to school to get a degree in tech. I have had ladies from a classmate who are doing something completely unrelated to tech. And whenever they see me, they're like, Audrey, you actually continued in tech and you built a reputation around it. Like, yes, I did. I know sometimes in school the boys will be like, hey, we will do all the work because we get that a lot in school. And it has nothing to do with the lecturer because they will put us in groups. But now your teammates that are guys, boys will tell you, hey, you are a girl, we'll do the tough thing. You don't have to worry. We got you. When you are back in uni, you can think that it's a favor, it's a good thing that they get the job done for me. But it's not, because there is a life after school and where nobody is going to get things done for you. You have to do it by yourself. So I had to learn it when I had to validate my year and get an internship. I didn't want to get an internship in any other field apart from the tech field, but that was niche. And many girls just would think that, hey, I need to validate my semester and get done with coursework. I'm going to get an internship. Even if it is not totally tech related, that's not a problem. I just want to validate my year and move on. And others would be like, hey, they told me that I need a degree. I'm doing the degree for my parents, but I'm actually looking to get married, start a family, and be a stay-at-home mom. It's okay. It's a choice. And I was always telling my friends, you can't force people to do things that they don't want to do. And it is fair. But if you've engaged into a path, I just believe you should pursue. That is me. And that is what I am doing. And I hope every lady that goes to school to pursue computer science or computer engineering will remember that. Why did I start? Because things are there for you to actually be successful.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. I think the secret is that I do agree with the part that not force technology to anybody. And there's I liked what you said, that there's a misunderstanding there that if you were in tech, then that means you have high pay, you're gonna be rich. But it also requires a lot of effort for us to get where we are right now, like learning about how to code, how to program. We went through all of those like challenges before as well. And what we can do on our side is to inspire others, tech, about what we do. And it is our hope that the inspiration and story that we share to them, like your story, Audrey, this my story, or Shetty's story, will somehow spark some inspiration in them that we will slowly think about what they really want to achieve, because work is just work. I mean, you get paid like depending on the salary that's offered to you, but the most important thing is choosing the work that you really like, because if you do a job that you don't like, it's just like tedious. It's just like a job and it's not fun. It will be like you look forward every day. Oh, I hope this work day is done, because I thought my job was boring. But we should have a job that we really like, because that's what we want to do.
And it's achievable, like
Yeah, that's right. That's
achievable.
right. So yeah, what we can do is to inspire, and just like what we're trying to do today, yes, and right now.
Audrey, what do you think are
Okay.
the most motivating factors for developers to get comfortable in the in their sector, mainly in the workplace? What do you think?
Ah, that's a tricky question. But really, really interesting question. The motivating factors. I'd say for me, the community. That is me. And I think it applies to many people. Why the community? Because there is a saying that translates into if you go alone, you go fast, but if you go together, you go far. Yep, I got it right. Yes. So if you go alone, you go fast, but if you go together, you go far. So it's one community are actually one of the factors that motivate people, motivate me to get to where, to get into this tech journey, to remain in this tech journey, and to be comfortable in the tech journey. Because with sessions like this one, where I've come to share with the sessions, the two sessions that I heard yesterday, I was just like, wait, then I'm not the only one who had a cumbersome journey, who was lost and found, and who was kind of discouraged and then back on track again. I am not the only one. Then I can do it. And at the beginning of your journey, you are going to have the question of, can you do it? Really often. And hearing people who have passed through the same fire and come out stronger will help you. So that is one of the motivations. And I know this might sound redundant, but open source. Because the open source part or the open source bit keeps us all alive, if I have to say, because then I'm using React, I'll never have to pay for it. I just wish that one day I get to the level where I can contribute and as part of my contribution and make it as a sort of a way to say thank you for letting me using this by contributing to the code base one of these days. It's one of the things that also keeps me keep on learning React because I want to say thank you. Because I've been using that tool and I never had to pay for it for side projects or work, never had to pay for it. So I just wish that one day I can contribute it to it. And then the third motivation thing that I have to, I can refer to is the impact of our in our daily life. We are not like we've never met each other. We are using tech to connect. And it has made the world one. It's one world, basically. So you are from Ethiopia, Jonah is from Philippines, and I am from Gabon. Like, how cool is that? It can't get any cooler. So this is
Yes.
also, yeah,
Yeah.
like
In Sweden
crazy.
also, like
And you
yes.
are in
Yeah.
Sweden, right?
Yes. Someday,
And
yeah. You're gonna visit us someday. Yes.
exactly. So
Yes.
And these are the factors that keep us alive. There are so many of them. I'll just stop at three so that I don't eat up much time. But yeah, these are the three main things that I would say motivate us the most.
Yeah, the very inspiring answer, Audrey. I like the ideals that you said that we are working and learning tech, and we are also using technology to get connected with each other, and that's how we build also our communities and inspire others. Yeah, so speaking of speaking in relevance to the question of Sherry about motivating factors in order for developers to get comfortable working in tech or in their workplace, it reminded me of mentorship, which is I myself volunteer when I have spare time, and I volunteered and mentored some women in tech that are now working as developers at their jobs, both in Sweden and internationally. So my question to you, Audrey, mentorship is very valuable to all of us, regardless if you're working in tech or not. But what does mentorship mean to you, and why do you think it matters in tech?
Wow, really nice question. When I saw this question first, I almost had I had tears almost coming out.
Oh, yeah,
Yes, I swear,
tears.
it really
That's
got me.
exciting.
Yes,
Yes,
it really got me. It
that's
really
good to
got
know.
me. I don't know. So
I
thanks
hope
for
it's
the
tears of joy, Audrey, not
question.
tears.
Yes, for sure. Thanks. It has led me mentorship is, I define it as a relationship between people that pertain to uplift them, each of them. So the mentor and the mentee learn, grow together. There is this side of mentorship where we see that only one party learns from, but I see the mentorship as for the mentor as a way to go back in time and remember how you started. And be humble for the journey and be humble to motivate other people because you started from somewhere and you have gotten to where you are. So it's a way for them to go back in time and look at it and like, wow, I've come far and I'm able to help people. Then I hope I don't get them discouraged and that they will still continue because I was able to continue. And for the mentee, an opportunity to grow and to teach your mentor some two or three things. And by teaching, what I mean is, it's not always you coming to ask questions. How do I do this? How do I get this done? How did you get so much pay? How did you get a raise? How did you get a promotion? No. How are you? How was your journey? Sometimes, you know. And how is family doing? It's a relationship that can go really far. That can because this relationship helps you building trust, and that trust can really take you above and beyond because it is something that we lack of in the tech industry. People are really much interested in the outcome, and some overlook how do you call it, skills or parts like trust, which is something that is, I don't know how to define it. If you can't trust your employee, you are going to have a collapsing company. If you can't get them to be in a trusted environment, they are going to leave you when you go through hard time. So it's a relationship that I see that way. And for the mentee, don't just go with the aim of getting. Also go there with the aim of giving, and by that, ask questions that can help them go back in time. Also ask questions that get them interested in you and in what you have to offer. Don't let them just feel like they have to give you because it's a relationship. Everybody wins. So it's matters, and this is what mentorship means to me.
Yes, that's a great answer. I do agree with that. Mentorship is actually a two-way relationship, and it doesn't mean that you're a mentor. It's you that knows everything. I believe it's a mutual relationship, and it should be a humble one, a trusting one.
Yeah.
And both parties should be has this willingness to learn from each
Yeah.
other, and it should be built on trust. And of course, it's not just about tech. Talking about tech when you're into mentorship, it can be soft skills. How do you about the challenges, the mistakes, and how you learned things in life, how you grow, and sharing stories. So trust is really important when it comes to mentorship. Thank you so much, Audrey, for sharing your tech story, especially about what you do in the communities and what you work with, as long as your insights about mentorship and why it matters to us. So to finalize, we would like to ask you what you would advise to our listeners, our audience, or to those that are still beginning at their journey in tech. Do you have any advice for them?
Thanks.
Yeah,
so
one top one or top two advice to them.
Yes,
I know
yes.
you can gather a lot of advice to maybe. Yes,
Yeah, but
yeah.
Just one or two. Look for a good company, do research. It's going to be your experience, and you want to get the best out of it. There is a quote out there saying, if you don't get paid, if you don't earn, you should learn. I'd say if you're just beginning, focus on the learning side. Keep toxic companies, because I know you will look for a way to grow, and for this you need to be exposed. Keep toxic companies, not worth it, because people will never see your worth. They will, and when people don't acknowledge that there's been some movement upward, there's been some progress, it's going to break you down. You don't want to do that. At an early stage of your career, you want to learn. It's true that you shouldn't take too much of criticism, but you should take criticism. But I'd say a toxic company is a toxic company. It doesn't matter what. So have the courage to say no. It's in the name of learning, even though if it's what it takes, just say no, because it's not worth it. So these are my two advices. But the most important one is keep toxic companies. They are going to prevent you from growing the way you're supposed to. Go back to YouTube and, I don't know, follow some tutorials.
You said skip, you're right, because I misheard you. I thought you said keep.
Oh,
I hope you, skip or avoid. Just want to make it clear. Yes, that's right. Yeah, maybe the microphone. But I do agree with that. I've been in a toxic workplace, so they're not worth it. It can
not
really affect your health and everything. So it's blocking you to grow. So I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right.
Keep it.
So,
not worth it.
Yeah. I agree with that. If it's finalizing, how do people can reach out to you, Audrey? Any social media links, if they can ask you any questions, or people from your area if they want to connect?
Yeah. So I'm reachable on LinkedIn by Audrey Mungo, the same name, and also on Twitter, Audrey Mungo. And also on Instagram, Audrey Mungo. And you can send me an email on masumharmony@gmail.com. Yeah. I answer in both French and English. So
okay.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes,
My feeling.
I cannot speak French, but that's a really great language you have. I'm a bilingual as well, multilingual, but not French yet. Yeah, but that's great that you have that. We need more French speakers in the world of tech conferences. Yeah, so yeah, to our audience, please follow Audrey. She's one of the great friends in tech that I follow as well. So feel free to reach out to her if you have questions related to React, about the communities that she is involved with. Yes, it's time to end the session. It feels like we have learned a lot about Audrey Shetty.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, thank you
Yes.
so much for your time and then
Yes.
your sharing experience, your tech story with
Yes.
our audience and with
Yes.
us as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Audrey, for joining us from Goblin also to record this episode. Okay. Yeah, so
Thank
it's
you for
time
having me.
to I'm sorry. Good.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's a collaboration. All right. Yeah,
All
so
right,
thank
thanks so
yes,
much.
thank you so much for listening and spending time with us. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor and other
Google Podcast
yeah, we also have Google Podcasts and
as
now Anchor actually have changed to, I believe, Spotify Podcaster, because Spotify took over Anchor. So yeah, so feel free to follow us. We are also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and also Instagram. And if you want to share your story with us and you got inspired, feel free to reach out to me and Shetty on LinkedIn. And we're looking forward to hear from you and see you again on the next episode. Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.